Hello, that was Bob Dylan. This is Robert Norris. You're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on your favorite station, 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, FM Radio, Liberation Radio in Santa Cruz. And for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be with you along with my trusty set of newspapers, and who knows, maybe the occasional mystery guest who shows up. We have no guests scheduled this morning. I just got back from the north and couldn't get into my house, so I'm, I should say my room, so I'm kind of winging it today, but that doesn't matter. We're here, I'm here, hopefully you're there. I mean, you probably are there if you're hearing me, or at least half there. I'm going to be talking about stuff from around the country and local civil liberties. The issue is the focus on poor people and the rights that poor people have or should have on the streets and in their daily lives here in Santa Cruz, around the state, around the nation, indeed around the world. I'll be making a couple of announcements, putting on a lot of music, I think, to cover the weak spaces in the show at the moment. We've got some mail incoming to the radio station, which I'm going to pass on to you listeners. So that's what's in store for us from 10 to 12 today. And we'll be returning on Friday, hopefully with an even better show, and maybe the phones will be hooked up by then, and you'll be able to call in as you have been able to in the past. So again, you're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz. And if anything is said on the air that you find you want to dispute, discuss, or perhaps you want some airtime to refute, give me a call at 423-4833. That's 423-HUFF. That's my phone number. That's an answering machine, too. And you can call actually while the show is on and leave your remarks and thoughts, and I will pass them on to the audience at the next Friday show, and or possibly invite you on the air to discuss your response to what I'm reading, what I'm discussing, what I'm putting out. Because I know that I don't have the only view in town, and it certainly makes for more interesting radio and more informative radio to bat things back and forth. Unfortunately, we can't do too much batting at the moment because of the state of the incoming phone line or lack thereof. So my apologies on that, and I hope you'll bear with me anyway, and call 423-HUFF or 423-4833 if you have any reaction to what I'm saying or anything you want to add. Or you actually want to be on the air yourself to respond. And that's what we're looking at for the next 2 hours. So first, a couple of announcements. The Police Review Board is actually having a meeting today, the Civilian or Citizen Police Review Board, Santa Cruz's very own toy poodle, Arf Arf. We're watching the police, but we're not doing much, board, which will be meeting at 5 o'clock today down at City Hall. Now, I should tell you that this is going to be a very briefly open meeting, and then it'll turn closed, because what's going to happen here is the board will be considering a complaint. What does that mean? Well, it means the board will be declaring itself open and then closing the meeting and walking over to the police station to read a complaint filed with the police department under the watchful eye of an armed officer. Normally, of course, and legally, the police review board would have that complaint sent to it so it could consider it in its own chambers, free of the possible intimidation, the possible influence of the police department, since they indeed are supposed to oversee the police department. But no, the Citizens or Police Review Board has caved in on this issue in spite of the clear letter of the law that states the board shall receive within 2 working days copies of all complaints filed with the police department. So at the current time, the only way to make sure your complaint in its entirety gets to the board outside the police department is by taking it in to the Citizens Police Review Board down on Cedar Street yourself. They're open Monday through Thursday from 9 to 1. And they can be reached there Not usually I have their number with me, but I'm a little ill-prepared this morning. Maybe I can give it to you later in the show, but it's in the phone book, I believe, or it certainly can be reached through information. It's downtown. They're open from 9 to 1 at Monday through Thursday, as I said, and you can take a complaint against police misconduct to their office and specifically ask them to keep it in a file that is accessible to them and to the public and not made confidential, as all complaints coming into the police department are, as a matter of course, in spite of the clear letter of the law, of the law establishing the Citizen Police Review Board. So that's happening at 5 o'clock today. You might go down there and give them a piece of your mind while the meeting's open. I don't actually know if they will allow that, but perhaps they will. They will then troop over to the police department and huddle there for 3 or 4 hours, and then come back and declare the meeting closed around 10 or 11 at night, or so I'm informed is the practice that they are now doing. Again, they aren't meeting in their own chambers, even though chambers have been provided by the city, because the police department is refusing to follow the law in the city of Santa Cruz. The city manager is refusing to enforce the law, and the Citizen Police Review Board is going along with this violation of the law. I emphasize this to show just how subservient the Police Review Board is, just how accessible to police pressure the city manager is, and just how ridiculously intransigent the police department is, particularly the Police Officers Association, under the leadership of the POA trooper Steve Clark, who I spoke to you about last week. Clark is a particularly intransigent and, in my opinion, a very angry police officer. He's been abusive toward homeless people in the late 80s. He's personally threatened me. He's not behaved well, and his position on this issue has been ridiculous. I mean, the Police Review Board is really a joke, no matter whether they get the complaints at their office or go over to the police department and read the complaints there. But it shows you the quality of what's going on when they can't even read, they can't even get the very weak law that was passed followed by the police department. I brought this issue to the mayor 2 or 3 months ago, and to no avail. She assured us, and she asked the staff was going to look into it. She made a public comments that this would not be the case, but hey, it's September, Catherine. September, Mayor Byers, what's going on? Not much, as far as I can see. So another thing that's happening, I note from today's paper, actually it was Sunday's paper, I believe, or hope I have the right paper on this. Believe that there is a 10 to 1 p.m. food giveaway at the Christian Life Center at 1009 Mission that happens at the beginning of every month. You might want to check that out by calling the Christian Life Center. That's supposed to be happening from 10 to 1 today, if I'm reading my papers correctly, but there is no paper out today because it's Labor Day. No Sentinel, I should say, or Urinal, as I sometimes call it, the Santa Cruz Urinal, because of its yellow journalism, its distortion of issues, particularly having to do with poor people and civil liberties, its glorification of the police department, and so forth. A special personal message for some people who have been helping the station. Glad Eyes Gloria, you may be listening to this broadcast, and I know you faithfully tape these shows and make them available to other radio stations, and I think that's really a wonderful service you provide, and I want to take off my non-existent hat to you. If I had one, I would definitely take it off right now. And I want to let you know that there is a tape being made of this show, and I will get it to you. I think we're lucky here. They actually have a tape recorder in the studio. We didn't have one in the old studio. We've moved to a new studio. We do have a tape recorder here, and we're making that tape. So never fear, there will be a tape made. And again, thank you for your continuing work here. I think it's great. Also, a personal message to Christina and Patrick. These are two HUF workers, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, who are interested in setting up a informational table on the Pacific Garden Mall that will inform people of their rights, keep an eye on the happy hosts, who I've talked about at great length in different shows. These are the green-garbed gremlins with the big grins who walk around the mall telling you where you can sit and where you can't sit, telling poor people that they can't sell jewelry, telling musicians they can't play that particular song at that particular location for more than an hour. serving as a sort of an anonymous front behind which vengeful merchants can file their complaints without actually taking responsibility for what they do, without actually coming out and saying, look, I think you're disturbing my peace, I will take it to court because I feel I have a case here. No, instead, anonymously, the merchants come up and intimidate poor people and tell them you'll move on or a complaint will be filed. It's not good. It's a function, again, of the old 1994 downtown ordinances, which I've often railed against on this station. Laws making it illegal to sit down 10 feet from a shop, laws making it illegal to ask for spare change from a seated position. Can you dig it? Although it is legal to sit there silently with a sign, just don't say anything, okay? From a seated position. If you want to stand up and ask for spare change in crazy Santa Cruz, considering the laws we've got at the moment, you can do that. So I guess it's a way of making sure that people get their exercise in the mornings if they're poor, if they need money. Anyway, there's this table that Patrick and Christina are sitting up. I want to thank them for it. They gave a call this morning. I've been out of town, unable to answer my calls. I don't have their number. I'm going to get back to you both in case you're listening to the show. The table, for those who are interested, will probably be in front of the host's office, which is right next to the Del Mar Theater. And that is downtown on Pacific Avenue, about a block or two down from Cathcart and Pacific. Actually just a block down. And it's a table, as I said, that I'm hoping to have staffed with, well supplied with petitions, for example, for the upcoming curfew law, the countywide curfew law that some of the conservative supervisors are pressing for here in this county, a law that will make it illegal for a person under the age of 18 to be out after 11 o'clock at night unless she has a note from his or her mom. And there are a couple of other exceptions, going to or from a political event, a recreational event, waiting for a bus without delay. But you will be unable to legally tarry. That's the operative word, tarry, you see. Loitering laws have been overthrown. As you may know, in 1982 in Southern California, Edward Lawson was successful in fighting back those laws as commentator, renegade Richard Quigley told us about 2 or 3 weeks ago on the air. Lawson was able to get the Supreme Court of the United States to make it illegal, or actually unconstitutional, for any police officer to enforce a loitering law, and the loitering laws themselves have all been declared unconstitutional. Until recently, when a new scheme, which is also being considered in Santa Cruz, has been passing by and being considered for consideration and is up for review by city councils, intent on ridding itself of unsightly poor people, and also concerned with crack cocaine epidemics and drug sales, things of that sort. We're talking about illegal drug sales, not the massively more significant and more damaging legal drug sales that kill 400,000 a year from tobacco, or what is it, 250, 300,000? That figure may be high for alcohol. Maybe it's at least 100,000. It's between 100 and 250,000 in terms of diseases and accidents engendered by alcohol. Number of people killed by crack cocaine is minuscule. And the violence produced by those drugs, as I'm sure most of you will probably agree, is a function of the illegality of those drugs and the huge amount of profits that go into them that draw organized crime and disorganized crime and organized criminals with badges and guns that run around taking away people's rights and call themselves police officers. And that happens in every community, not just in Santa Cruz, but that makes it no less reprehensible here in Santa Cruz than anywhere else. And for a police officer to tell you we're just doing our job is the same kind of response that you might get from concentration camp people, and indeed concentration camp officers in totalitarian countries, and whether that be the former USSR or Nazi Germany or present-day China, the response, I'm just doing my job, should be met with, and what kind of a job is that you're doing? You know, get another job. You know, get out of my face. So again, this table should be on the, hopefully we're going to start working with this table on the mall today. I want to get as many volunteers as possible. If you'd like to assist in this measure to defeat the proposed countywide curfew coming down the pike, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and leave a message where you can generally be found, or just a message of support if you can't, you don't have a phone yourself, or you can't be reached. Or hopefully keep an eye out for the table, which should be showing up sometime later today in front of the host's hideaway. And again, the aim will be numerous. It'll be manyfold. We're going to try to housebreak the hosts, possibly send teams of people after them to inform those that they are intimidating of what their rights are, to make sure that they are not misinforming people, as they have been accused of doing by an angry musician came up to me about a week ago named Mike, another Mike. There are many Mikes around this town. It was a new Mike to me, and he talked about hosts threatening him for playing in front of near the coffee roasting company. You actually cannot legally play in front of an outdoor cafe anymore, although it's done by the privileged musicians whom the cafes like, thanks to bookshop owner Neil Coonerty, or Neo Goonery, as I've called him when he was city council member, because of his laws, not necessarily because of any personal actions he's taken in terms of his behavior toward other individuals, though that's a whole other issue and more of a personal issue than I wish to get into. But the question of monitoring the hosts will be one on the agenda for you and for me. And if you're interested, join that housebreaking the hosts group, at least to see what you can do. If you don't want to be out there on the front lines, we need people to help with phoning. We need people to help with putting together flyers and artwork. We're considering a theatrical presentation or a theatrical approach to give a little humor to the mall to deal with these green folks. And to keep an eye on the police as well, in terms of police misconduct. The hosts are, and admit to be, the eyes and ears of the police. And so they are the smiling first line of advance of the police department. Instead of seeing the rather upsetting badges and guns and dogs in the car and shotguns and so forth, you see these smiling green costume people there just to help you, And if that were the case, it would be, of course, a great thing, but it ain't, as far as I can see, at least not yet. There has been some talk of turning the hosts into mediators who truly attempt to give equal weight to the rights of all people downtown, not just the merchants from whom they get their salaries, not just the conservative police mentality who trains them, but everybody downtown, so that merchants will be told, as I suggested they be told, we're not a stalking horse for you. We, the hosts, are not interested in simply going out there and being little cops for you. We want to help everybody downtown. We want to resolve problems, and the way to do that is to talk about it. You have a problem with somebody in front of your store that you don't like? Well, we'll talk about it with them and see what can be done. But we're not interested in laying down the edict as you have done through your new laws. And the problem is that the hosts, though they were set up several months before the downtown ordinances passed in the spring of 1994, they are there to deal with and enforce and make real the downtown ordinances. And we found this out last week when we found that the so-called sitting laws, which we had thought, even though they were still on the books, were not being used that much, are still being used by Sergeant Seeley, even against old-timers who are natives of Santa Cruz. Admittedly, they look homeless, and that's that's the reason that they're being attacked. I haven't heard of any middle-class people getting tickets for sitting down, with the exception of one guy who was convicted, Eric Marcus, back in, I guess it was February he was convicted, and he was given a ticket in November of last year under the new County Rotkin sit-near-shop, go-to-jail law, which replaced the earlier sit-anywhere-on-the-sidewalk, go-to-jail law, because that was overturned by the courts. So the sitting laws are being enforced, the hosts are enforcing them. We're hoping to find some way to establish a counterforce on the mall, which both serves as a source of information, as the old homeless table did. We've had several homeless tables in the last decade, one in front of the old bookshop Santa Cruz when it was down near, what would you call that area? Well, down at the end of the mall, not too far from the town clock on the other side of the street. Then there was a homeless table for a while in front of City Hall after the earthquake, and that was, of course, mercilessly harassed by then Police Chief Bassett and Mayor Marty Wormhout. Then there was a homeless table in front of the post office, 1989-1990, when it was there for 8.5 months under the leadership of Jabberwocky J. Green, Rainbow Light Leith Austin, Linda the Lark Edwards, Paddy Wagon Pete. I was there occasionally too. I supplied a lot of the literature. And that lasted until a bunch of liberals, led by Paul Brindell and Sherry Connable, persuaded all these folks to take a dive, take a plea, lower their profile, and hope that City Council would pass a campground bill and that the police would give them amnesty on the charges. They were not given amnesty. Jay Green served a month in jail. There was no campground until 3.5 years later, and that was due to continued demonstrations, I believe, in part, as well as negotiations and pressure and the straight common sense of the idea. Anyway, homeless tables are, at least they've been a tradition for the last 10 years on the mall, and I've been very supportive of them. I've been around them, been contributed to them, and will contribute to this new one if it happens and if it works, and I hope you will too. And that's going to be, as I said, in front of the, next to the Del Mar Theater, in front of the Happy Hosts Hideaway. Let's guess 2 or 3 this afternoon today. So show up if you can. I'll see what you think about it. If you can't show up and you want to be supportive, give a call to 423-4833. Let me know you think it's a good idea and you'd like to be helpful in some way, even if you can't put in a lot of time and energy. I know a lot of people are trying to do a lot of things, and they can't always do what they want and give out all the energy they can to everybody who asks. So I'm going to take a break now. What I'm going to do is give you a continuation of an interview I had last week in Santa Barbara with a woman who is working with the HOSTS program down there. The HOSTS program is not simply a Santa Cruz invention. No, it's a statewide number being pressed by various business groups in different cities through a conservative Sacramento think tank. They're getting their anti-panhandling laws and their HOSTS programs through. I don't want to say that because I'm not entirely sure they come from exactly the same source, but they seem so alike. The guides in Berkeley, the hosts in Santa Barbara and Santa Cruz, they're called the Greeters in another city. I'm not quite sure what that name of that city escapes me for the moment. Anyway, in Santa Barbara, the host program, as I was telling you last week, and you heard some of this interview last week, with a host who wishes to remain anonymous, though it's kind of foolish because if anyone was listening to this, they would recognize her voice, but out of respect for her, we won't say what her name is. She gives us a discussion of what they're trying to do in Santa Barbara. And again, to reiterate the background in Santa Barbara actually had one of the strongest homeless rights movements in the country, or certainly in California, back in the mid-80s. They were able to, with the backing of the Creative Community for Nonviolence, a Washington, D.C.-based homeless group, to mobilize liberals and radicals and people on the streets in the summer of 1986. They sent the Washington CCNV sent 3 organizers to Santa Barbara to help the local organizers there who had been doing it for years and were being arrested around the clock on and on. Off and on and off and off, and they were getting constantly ticketed for sleeping, arrested for sleeping. There was numerous instances of brutality, and the homeless were, a lot of them were vets who actually had established a a free zone of their own called the jungle, where if the police came in, they had actually booby-trapped the area. The cops didn't go in there too much. It was quite a scene. But more important, other homeless people who were throughout the city being told they could not fall asleep anywhere, as they are in Santa Cruz, still the case in Santa Cruz, except you can sleep in the open-air shelter and in a church lot now, which deals with about a quarter at most of the homeless people in Santa Cruz. They were told they couldn't sleep. So in Santa Barbara, this whole thing came to a head in the summer of 1986 when a massive effort was made by the Legal Defense Center, which is a group that was supporting the rights of the homeless. The Creative Community for Nonviolence in Washington sent three organizers. Local homeless coalition down there organized a come to Santa Barbara, go to sleep, go to jail, come to the fig tree. And the city council, after merciless pressure from local social service providers as well as the street community, collapsed in their opposition to reason and agreed to change their anti-sleeping law, and they did. They changed it there. Unfortunately, 3 years later, a right-wing judge nullified that change by reinterpreting another statute to essentially return things to the status quo before 1986, and a four-month-long campout at City Hall in the summer of 1990 was only partially successful in fighting this, and they got another sleeping ban in place now, which is pretty much complete, but there is a mixed police policy. Police are somewhat selective in people they harass, and because they don't want to see a return to the mid-80s when there was a lot of organizing and activism among the homeless. At least that's my take on the situation in Santa Barbara. So Santa Barbara then has attempted to pass anti-panhandling laws and laws against sitting down, or at least anti-panhandling. I don't think they've tried to do the anti-sitting laws, but they failed because there is a large sentiment for the civil liberties of the poor, even though Santa Barbara is a very wealthy community, wealthier, significantly wealthier than Santa Cruz. And as a consequence, there is no set of downtown ordinances like there is here in Santa Cruz, like there is in Berkeley, although the Berkeley laws are suspended by the courts, thanks to an ACLU lawsuit. And so the HOSTS program in Santa Barbara takes a somewhat different form, and we're going to listen a bit to one of the hosts. I'm going to continue this interview with a rather articulate woman who is a host down there, and I am giving her a fairly neutral interview. I'm not really attacking her or the HOSTS program because I'm more interested in her getting out information in this situation. So see what you think of this.
We will, and we do, bring issues not only in the bathrooms, but about we think it's so stupid that you're signing for jaywalking when you have other issues that are more important. We think that, what was one? I can't even think of what, the music from the vehicles seems to be another. The music's so loud that ruins my day. You know, one guy can scream really loud and all the attention goes to that guy. In Santa Barbara, I think one of the biggest problems that is facing Santa Barbara is we all work several hours. We all work 3 and 4 jobs. And all of us are underpaid. Most of us are way overeducated. We're master's degree people waiting tables. We're doing whatever it takes to get through another expensive day in Santa Barbara. And then you have the really rich who sit up on the hill, who have their lovely homes, and they live in this little bubble. We also see a growing group of homelessness, which reminds us that we can be there at any time. And I think it makes us feel really uncomfortable.
Now, have you had friends who have become homeless in the last year or two that bring home the issue to you, or are you making more of sort of a general statement?
No, I have some clients that I have come to know through my counseling who are really concerned about what's happening in their lives. They became unemployed. Employment went for a long, long period of time. My coworker, she was living at work. No one knew she was living at work. She was coming in at night and sleeping on the floor and leaving at 5:36 a.m., raising a son. They were living in their car. They were all over. And took me several months to even know that that was going on. And she will go from homelessness to having an apartment to being homeless again, internet all the time. And other people I know, especially if they have marital problems and they're split, or the kids are living in the cars, and I was a school counselor, I'd have to go out and hit the streets and find some of these families, and they were everywhere, and the kids were suffering, parents were suffering, there just was no work and there was no money, and finding a job is really hard with no telephone, and it just was became a vicious cycle. The other concern in Santa Barbara is that we have some standing service providers, like Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, these service providers. And the big question is, it appears that more often than not, if people provide money to someone who's panhandling, they aren't really helping them, they're hurting them, because it seems that they go and they drink alcohol or they are involved with drugs. And if that's the case, the community has really felt that they don't want to help. They don't want to give any money, any kind of support. And they're really vast, huge, misinformed generalizations. But that turning the back on people on the streets comes from that place, I think.
Now, wasn't there a plan at one point? I was here a year ago, maybe it was half a year ago, and the city council was actually considering some proposal whereby they would hire people to stand around next to panhandlers and tell people not to give money to them.
Had you heard about that?
I know that they had cards, and it said, why, if you want to give money to someone who's homeless, contribute to an organization that's already providing services. I didn't hear about that other one. And they wanted to put little money donation boxes up. Mm-hmm. They said, if you want to give money so it's going to go, and we can do more if we pull our money than if you give a 2 cents here and 2 cents there. I really haven't been watching that closely. And I haven't been in attendance at the city council meetings. It sounds like you've done more about that than I have.
What about the sleeping ban here in Santa Barbara? For years it was notorious that it was illegal for homeless people to sleep outside. And then they actually won a victory in 1986 after there was a threatened demonstration by Mitch Snyder to bring a lot of homeless people to town. And the city council suspended their sleeping ban, but then it was reinstituted in 1989 because of a court decision by, I think, Judge Ochoa, I'm not sure. Anyway, are you familiar with what the law is regarding sleeping in your vehicle here in Santa Barbara? And if not, why not?
First of all, I don't work at night. I don't know. I know from my drug and alcohol classes that they'll often knock on your doors if you're passed out in your car, and if you don't awaken, they'll often break into your car, stating that for fear that you're you're comatose and you may need medical assistance.
Right, there actually is a law in Santa Barbara which makes it illegal to sleep at night. Now, the word sleep is actually been included by a judge. The actual wording of the law is camp. But the judge has ruled that sleeping is illegal. And we were fighting that when I was here in Santa Barbara working with the Legal Defense Center. We tried to get the city. There's actually a small exception for so-called undeveloped city-owned properties where it is legal to sleep. But the city at that time would not release a list of what those properties were. So in fact, there was no legal place in Santa Barbara to sleep except for the jungle, which I understand is being developed. Do you know how much about that? You know what I refer to by as the jungle?
You're talking about the area where a lot of the homeless people are, like an encampment?
Exactly.
But I don't know much about it.
Right.
I just know of it.
Right. I'm
Is the issue related to sitting in your car, where are they going to go to the bathroom?
Well, the issue is probably related to we don't want unsightly people sleeping in their vehicles anywhere in Santa Barbara. In the early 80s, the issue was related to the police desire to drive all homeless people away from Santa Barbara. And there was quite a resistance movement by homeless people at that time. He was here in Santa Barbara, for example, with the right to vote
was
established for homeless people.
I don't get the feeling that the police want to run all the homeless people away. I mean, I really don't. I believe what they really don't like are the people who are publicly intoxicated, who are very aggressive, so aggressive that people are afraid to come downtown, and yet more and more people are afraid to come down because there are a few panhandlers who get in your face and haunt you and scream at you and call you all kinds of names because you choose not to put money in their little basket or their
pot. The same concerns, of course, are present in almost any urban area.
Right.
And my response to that concern has always been, certainly, if ever you're abused by an individual, whether she or he is rich or poor, you know, you have a perfect right, and in fact, perhaps a responsibility to respond to that situation. But the anti-homeless laws that are making their appearance on the scene, and as exemplified by the Santa Barbara sleeping ban and the Santa Cruz sleeping ban, which is where I'm from, are a different kettle of fish, because those laws make it illegal for you to fall asleep. They don't make it illegal to fall asleep in a drunken state or harass other people or sleep on their doorsteps. They make it illegal to sleep in any vehicle anywhere in the city, regardless, for example, if you're passed out because you feel like you have to stop driving in order to pull over and sleep safely. In Santa Cruz County, for instance, where I come from, there actually is an exception. You can do that. You can pull over and sleep. But if you get into the city has a much stricter law. You can sleeping for any reason after 11 o'clock at night outside of the house is an illegal activity. And in Santa Barbara, there is a similar situation. They passed a law in 1990 which was somewhat equivocal. It says, as I said, there are exceptions here in Santa Barbara for sleeping on undeveloped properties. But again, they wouldn't release the list of undeveloped properties. We attempted to find it out. We found a couple of them. Some undeveloped properties are like 4 feet wide by 12 feet long, and they're a creek bed, you know, on the edge of town, nobody knows about. And the reality is they don't really want to facilitate legal places for people to sleep. And that's one of my concerns as a homeless advocate.
But we do have a lot of camping areas. Now, I don't know, that requires money to camp. We do have several designated camping areas where many people who are displaced people are choosing to live and camp. We also have many people who are consistently, I walk every day down by the beach, they are consistently sleeping out there, and I see more and more people, and I think maybe this is part of the problem too. You let a couple people sleep out there, and before you know it, we have a lot of people that are all camping out here and staying out there, and among that are people who are not cooperative and not friendly. It's also a tourist town. It's a town that wants to look pretty and wants to make it look like a fantasy presentation in paradise. And when we talk about paradise, people don't imagine a homeless person panhandling in spite of paradise. And this seems to be more and more the resentment that I hear. You know, here I am. I'm down there enjoying the beach, having my wonderful time, and some guy rolls over and starts peeing over there by the bushes, or someone over there comes up to me. Now, when I walk down by the beach, no one bothers me except the homeless people. And they comment on my body, they comment on my hair, they make lewd comments to me.
I should add to the listeners, we're dealing with an extremely beautiful woman here.
No, stop. I don't know if that's extreme. I don't know if that's true.
No panhandlers have ever commented on my body. I'd like to point out, I kind of resent it, but it's not going
to happen. No, I mean, and there I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying really hard to do something, and I don't get that anywhere else.
Not in the construction zone where the construction workers.
No, well, I don't hang out near construction zone, so maybe that's true. But I often...
Do you find the same kind of sexism among other groups, people you know, of a somewhat less overt sort?
I don't...
Are you judged on the basis of your appearance rather than your talents?
Stop it. Those kind of comments, those verbalizations, I don't experience anywhere else. I'm usually... First of all, I'm dressed differently when I'm exercising.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the more friendly that I am, the more it happens. And I talk to the homeless people. I'm there every day. Hi, how you doing?
I've seen you on the street talking to, in fact, I met you as you were talking to a jewelry salesperson, a woman who was selling jewelry on the street. I want to talk to you some more. I'm a little concerned about making you late for work. It's 4:45, and I don't want to make you late. What's your time situation like?
I have to leave in 10 minutes.
So you're kind of, you're on the edge here. Have little sip of tea. Well, that let's leave it here for the moment, and maybe we can pick up on some more questions. Unless you want to conclude with any thoughts here.
I just want to say, I'm new at this. I don't represent the perspective of all the police department, and I think if you were to speak with a police officer, you'd have a very different feel. I don't know how candid people are. I think the people have a lot of judgments that come from lack of information, and I'm certainly new. I'm really new to this, and one of my biggest fears is ending up homeless and down for victory. I know that's true for me, and that's a real honest to goodness fear, and I know I'm not the only one, and I think that a lot of times the reactions that come from people, the disgust, are coming from that fearful place, because many of us are living check to check and month to month, and realize that it's not the American dream anymore, and it's scary. And I think women admit that they're scared. They make very stupid statements, and they try to distance themselves as far as they can from it, and they're living this plastic world, and in fact they knew that it's just so close for them. I don't think I could be there. I could be that woman. I couldn't be that man, but I could be that woman. I could be having to worry day by day, hour by hour, in a world that people don't take time to listen and don't take time to really even, how are you doing, to look me in the eye. I could be that person.
See, it's ironic that you say this, because, you know, I think you reflect your own personal values in saying this, as well as your own personal training and the kind of work you've had before as a mediator and as a social kind of worker. The irony is, you are being hired by a group of people, namely the merchants and the police. I'm not quite sure where the money comes from in Santa Barbara. In Santa Cruz, it's the merchants who fund this program, whose main purpose is to get you to essentially make the homeless be very low profile in the downtown area. That's my sense of it. I'm not quite sure. I've only been here a couple of days this time, and I can't really make a clear judgment on that. But usually these host programs, which are set up in Santa Cruz, in Santa Barbara, in Berkeley, in Portland and Seattle, I believe they may have one. I'm not sure. I know in Seattle they have an anti-sitting law, and frequently there's a big package. They throw in an anti-homeless package, and they throw a carrot out too, like a few homeless services, and then they throw in this hosts program, which that's called the Guides in Berkeley. It's called, I don't know what it's called. In Santa Cruz it's called the Hosts. And the point is, the police don't, and the city don't want to be liable for unconstitutionally restricting the behavior of homeless people when it is not criminal. And the merchants want to criminalize a lot of homeless behavior because they see it as unproductive economically for them. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is, instead of, in order to set up, they throw people in the middle of this. They call them the hosts. And they are a group of people who essentially are running around trying to act like police officers in a certain sense with a smile. And the problem is, of course, that what they're doing is they are trying to intimidate the homeless in a friendly kind of way without using the arrest procedures, because one of the problems the city knows is that if they do use those procedures, they'll fill up the jails. They won't resolve the problem. The problems will repeat themselves. And then again, they may find themselves legally liable.
But the majority of my work is not focused on the homeless. Most of my time is spent with the tourists and directing them to services, and also confronting jaywalkers and motorcyclists and bicycles on the sidewalk. A very small percentage of my time is spent reprimanding or confronting homeless people.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
it's not the case in Santa Cruz.
No, I know that also, depending on your zone, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a bunch of homeless people, maybe you should get closer to the beach. Mm-hmm. Is it over?
No. I was worried there.
And I have some homeless people who are welcomed by the merchants because they keep the bad guys away. Mm-hmm. And as I get to know the different homeless, whether they have a gimmick of playing a piano, or not playing a piano, excuse me, playing a saxophone.
Is the guy with the dog and the cat still in town?
There's two dogs and then there's a guy with two cats. But, and then there's everybody else who wishes they had a dog, wishes they had a cat. But in my work, as I befriend and get to know the homeless people, I don't even sometimes see the homeless people anymore. Sometimes I watch the other people walk by, and I look at them, and I think, but don't you see the guy there? Because I've come to know the guy who's sitting there. But it takes a while, you know, and it's not familiar for me. And I don't, you know, I don't understand, and there's a lot of us that don't understand, but I know I don't understand. How come that guy's still there? Can he get help? And a lot of us don't know why some people aren't getting help. Was the guy sleeping in the sleeping in the flower bed today? So I just go up and say, have you eaten today? How are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you feeling all right? I mean, so I get a sense of, like, is this
all right? You can whip out a sandwich and offer him a bed, because you can't really do that, right?
No. There are places that I can say, have you been over to Catholic Charities? Have you had some food? Have you had a meal? Reminding them about services. Do you have a caseworker? Do you have a social worker? Has anyone been talking to you? When was the last time you went to the doctor? You're looking like you need to have a bath. You know where you can get a bath? You can go down here between this time and this time. Is that something that you want?
What reactions do you get from homeless people when you present this kind of, let's say today, in the day you've been working?
I haven't been working today, but if I...
The last day you worked. Don't forget your teeth.
I know. I don't know.
Would you say most of the blow you off, or do most people just sort of, do they take your advice seriously, or do they resent it? What's the story?
I usually don't provide that information until I've talked to them a couple times.
Right,
because it's not, who am I anyway?
You're not giving them a tape. You're actually, these are your real responses in particular situations.
Yeah, I'm really concerned that from what I'm seeing, is that there's some needs here that aren't being met. And whether that's by choice, or whether that's by not knowing where to go, or whether it's just plain resistance, you know, I'm going to be defiant. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be there consistently, friendly, and authentically concerned. I mean, I would be the one person who really talks to that guy all day long, that really talks, other than his peers. And the peers are wonderfully supportive, but the peers often don't have, you know, that much more to share to provide.